For our final song, we will sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness," that we all realize God's faithfulness in all times. Number 408, followed by a prayer from Paul Anima for law enforcement and armed services.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the men and women who serve as police and law enforcement officers. We pray, Father, that you will pour out your grace, your mercy, and peace upon these men and women who serve in this role in our communities, our cities, our states, and our nation, as well as throughout the world. Give them wisdom, give them discernment, patience, and grace as they work with people, many of whom can be difficult to deal with. Keep them safe from danger, evil, and harm. Give them your grace, wisdom, and insight to do their job with excellence, understanding, and give them your protection daily wherever they go. We pray for the many families that have lost a loved one in the line of duty. We pray you will give comfort and strength as they deal with the loss of a loved one. In these times of rioting, destruction of property, disrespect for authority, we pray, Father, protect them. We pray for our local officers, and we pray for Seth and Nate of our congregation. Father, watch over them as they are often in harm's way. We pray that they may return home to their families after each duty has ended. And Father, again, we thank you for the brave men and women serving in the armed forces and National Guard of our country. These brave men and women have put their lives on the line for our country. They are living out what it means to serve. Father, some are statewide, others are serving in foreign lands to protect us and this country so that we can enjoy the freedom we experience every day. We thank you for those who have served in the past and those who are serving now. Some have paid the ultimate price with their life, and Father, we pray for those families. Comfort and strengthen them as only you can do. Help us as a nation to respect, support, and encourage them as they keep the peace of this nation. We pray for Cale and for Colt, members of our congregation who are serving now for our country. Keep them safe, keep them out of harm's way, and bring them back when their tour of duty is finished. Father, we pray that peace may continue in our land so that we may continue to worship and carry out the work that you have called us to do. We pray for all of these men and women, Father, and entrust them and their families to your care and keeping. Father, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we might live. Amen.
Good evening and welcome to worship with the people of God in Christ Jesus here at Cornerstone Church in Sanborn, Iowa. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Rock Valley. Our call to worship tonight is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. There the Bible says, "My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." As we have gathered here to worship the true God in Christ Jesus, we remember that wisdom came in the person of Jesus Christ. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. Let us bow in silent prayer before the Lord our God. I lifted my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Receive God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number 129 is our song of praise. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. Number 129. Let's sing the four stanzas. applied to Samson, which is the theme of our worship tonight, God's work through Samson and how God answered his prayers and fulfilled his will through him. Let us profess what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let each one say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Number 318, let's sing all four stanzas, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let us turn in the Word of God to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. Revelation, the 18th chapter. Babylon in the Bible is symbolic for the cities that raise themselves arrogantly against God. And in the prophets, sometimes even God's own capital, Jerusalem, is referred to as Babylon. How many cities in our own country couldn't be referred to as Babylon today, having exalted themselves against God Most High in their goals, in their policies, in what they promote? So whatever you do, think broadly enough in terms of the victory of God and all that is opposed to Him when you hear the name Babylon. The fall of Babylon. And the Bible says in the 18th chapter of Revelation, "After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living.' Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, "I sit as a queen. I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see." For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, 'Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city, Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, and sheep, horses, and chariots, and slaves, that is, human souls. The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and all your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. The merchants of these wares who gain wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud, 'Alas! Alas for the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels and with pearls. For in a single hour, all this wealth has been laid waste. And all shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors, and all whose trade is on the sea stood far off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like the great city?'" And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, "Alas, alas, for the great city, where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her." Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slain on earth." Let us seek the face of the Lord our God in our evening prayer. Lord God in heaven, King of kings and Lord of lords, how good it is to draw near to you. Lord, and how good it is to know that though we have an earthly citizenship here and a call and command to pray for the prosperity of this country and of the cities in our land, Lord, it is our abiding joy that here we have no abiding city, but that our citizenship is in heaven. And Lord, we pray that we may gain great strength from that. And we pray that we may also, Lord, not forget the mission to go with the good news that Jesus Christ is King, that he is Lord, that he is Savior, that in him is found, Lord, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that in him and in him alone is found the abundant life that this world can never give. And so, Lord, we pray that we, your church everywhere, may be faithful in the Great Commission to go into all the world, to go first of all to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we thank you, Lord, that in so many ways this has been done, that your church is conscious of this and continues to do so. And Lord, we thank you for your people around the world in so many places. And we thank you that as the sun rose on a new day and went around the earth, that as the world woke up, your people woke to worship you. And we thank you now, O God, that as the sun sets on our part of the world, that we can gather for an evening sacrifice and to offer, as it were, our prayers and our praise, and to express, to exercise our faith in the sacrifice of all sacrifices, your Lamb, O God, who you gave, who you provided to take away the sins of the world. Lord, we pray that as we gather here, we pray that our faith may be focused on Jesus tonight, and that we may worship you, the true God, through him who you have sent, and to be the final word, to be the ultimate spokesman, our highest prophet, our only high priest, and our eternal king. We pray, Lord, that our hearts may be made strong. We thank you for all the prayers offered here tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, that as we gather here, that you are presence here in our midst. We pray that we may feel that we may be strengthened by it. Bless, Lord, all your saints here in this place. Bless our children in their schooling. Bless mothers in the home. Bless fathers as spiritual leaders. Grant that they may be faithful priests in their own households. And Lord, we pray that you will bless our churches, make them strong, make them faithful. And we pray that as we enter a new education season, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for one another. We pray that for those whose faith is weak, that it may be strengthened. And we pray, Lord, for those who are anxious, Lord, that they may not give way to anxiety, but know that you are with them. Lord, we pray in a special way for those who face surgery in this coming week. And we pray for our sister Tina Terrell's surgery that was canceled and has been rescheduled. Be with her, Lord, as she submits to surgery in this coming week. We pray that you will guide the hands of surgeons and give to her the results longed for. We pray, too, for our brother Henry Hoffman as he submits to surgery this week. Lord, we pray that the pressure on his brain may be reduced, that he may receive the comfort and healing from on high that ultimately only you as the great physician can give. Be with these. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon our worship here tonight, upon the public reading of your word, upon its proclamation and application to our lives. Lord, grant to us a deep understanding of spiritual truths as they come together and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The song before the sermon tonight is number 416. Let's sing the five stanzas. If you're able, let's rise to sing this song, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, number 416. Page 17 in the back of your hymnals, Lord's Day 10, this Lord's Day on Providence. I guess the older you get, the more you come to appreciate the catechism and how much truth is packed into one Lord's Day. And in the second question, we're asked, what does the knowledge of God's creation and providence. What effect does that have on our life? And it says it gives us three things. It gives us patience, thankfulness, and confidence. And these are the very three things that we don't have naturally. Naturally, most of us are impatient, unthankful, and confident. Well, we tend to be scared little kitty cats, you know? These are the three things, though, we need to live the victorious life. These are the three things we have in our God. Let's read the answers to this Lord's Day in unison together after we are asked the question. Lord's Day 10, congregation, what do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. And how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well. And for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from his love. All creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. There you have it. What a wonderful, wonderful truth, and what a wonderful thing it is to confess it, to profess it, to believe it from the heart. Judges 14 and 16. And if your bulletin says 4, then that's entirely my fault, not your bulletin editor. Judges 14 and Judges 16. Tonight, the story of Samson. Or part of the story, anyway. Samson's marriage, Judges 14, beginning at verse 1. Where the Bible says, Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. But his father and mother said to him, Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all your people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him, roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. After some days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there. For so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. And they said to him, put your riddle that we may hear it. And he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. And in 3 days they could not solve the riddle. On the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us? And Samson's wife wept over him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and you have not told me what it is. And he said to her, behold, I have not told my father nor my mother, and shall I tell you? She wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted. And on the seventh day he told her, because she pressed him hard. Then she told the riddle to her people, and the men of the city said to him, and on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. And now to the 16th chapter at verse 23, the death of Samson. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country, who has killed many of us. And when their hearts were merry, they said, call Samson, that he may entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested. And he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. Then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah his father. And he had judged Israel 20 years. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for a spirit-breathed word. Lord, we thank you that in the breath of the Spirit, the light is shone upon our Lord Jesus, that we may understand who he is, and who he must be, who he was sent to be for us, and who he is, the one who is, and the one who is and was and is to come. And Lord, we thank you for that same Spirit that authored these words as the same Spirit who teaches our hearts. Teach us now and instruct us as the light is shown within, the very light of the gospel in Jesus Christ. May we understand, Lord, how profound, how personal, and how powerful this gospel is to the transforming of lives. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. A swarm of bees land one day in the carcass of a lion which had been killed in the vineyards of Timnah. And here in the body of this dead lion, they build their hive and manufacture their honey. Outside of the unusual location of the hive, nobody would have paid any special attention to this lion or the hive of bees. Nobody, that is, except Samson. For, of course, Samson is the one who killed the lion. He knew it was there, and he was on his way to propose marriage to his Philistine girlfriend. Samson, of course, was chosen of God, judge in Israel. But he was a man who broke all the rules. He does so in the woman he chooses. He does so in touching dead carcasses and eating what comes out of them. But God is still working through Samson. And we see here tonight, beloved, the remarkable providence of God. We have a glimpse into how it works. How it worked then and how the providence of God is still at work in all things. We know that Samson's parents did not approve of his marriage plans from their reaction in verse 3. Both his father and mother reply, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go and take a wife from the uncircumcised?" And how many covenant parents since that time to this very day haven't said the very same thing to their own son or daughter? And at this point, you might expect the scriptures to reiterate the evils of marriage with unbelievers, the accompanying judgment of God upon such self-serving unions, or physical unions with unbelievers are everywhere described in all of Scripture as spiritual idolatry against God Himself. But this is not what follows here. This is not what we find in this account at all. Instead, we're told almost immediately about the remarkable providence of God, and that God is at work in and through the foolishness, even the sinfulness of man, who in this case are both strong-minded as well as strong-muscled. The Bible says his father and mother did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. For at that time, they were ruling over Israel. Here in the book of Judges, we are introduced to the important concept within divine providence called concurrence. Have you ever heard the word concurrence? As Joseph so elegantly explained to his brothers, "You brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And that's concurrence. And there are so often in our lives, we either mean it for evil or it really is evil directing us, but God is able to overrule and bring good out of evil. Now, the doctrine of concurrence does not make God responsible for Samson's sin in choosing a heathen wife. Nor does it ever excuse the sinner. nor does it justify Samson's foolish fascination with the sensuous daughters of the Philistines. But what this verse does do, beloved, is remind us that where others see only dead lions, buzzing bees, and ultimately doomed marriages, God sees an opportunity to do His will. God sees an opportunity here to confront the Philistines, to gain a great victory over them, and in the process to proclaim the gospel, to redeem lives throughout the day of grace, throughout history, and to promote the glory of His own holy name. And we as Christians should always remember this in all things. What is God's purpose in this? God is sifting the hearts of men. What are the possibilities here from God's point of view? And this is what makes life and watching what unfolds from day to day as history takes place so exciting for the child of God. The occasion God sought with the Philistines was an occasion to show them their own helplessness before the power of the great Jehovah, the God of Israel, and also to tell them about their only hope in the person of Jesus Christ. That message, of course, is very cryptic. It's in seed form here, but it's here, as we will see. And that message, that good news, that gospel of redemption is proclaimed in the words of Samson's own riddle. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. So if you are in a difficult situation today, as a parent, a child, or a spouse, take courage from the remarkable providence of God and what God can do. God's providence is always at work in all things. There's nothing that happens outside of His providence. God is seeking an opportunity to confront the wrong and confirm the right. And we must all look for this providence of God and keep on looking for it. For we behold after the fact what God has been bringing together from the very beginning. Let us take a closer look at this riddle posed by Samson, this riddle in which we find the gospel of redemption. And you may be sure that the riddle posed by Samson at his own wedding reception was not intended by him genuinely as an evangelistic gesture toward the Philistines. It's not what he had in mind. Samson wasn't exactly filled with a heart of compassion for the lost. And obviously, Samson's goal was to enrich himself at the expense of his wife's friends. And boy, didn't they feel that as the days wore on and the time ran out for them to come up with the riddle's answer. In fact, it's reasonable to say on the basis of Scripture that Samson wasn't even aware that God had chosen him as the apostle to the Philistines. But by the grace and wisdom of God, the riddle Samson composes turns out to be a remarkably beautiful description of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it describes how violent demolition can lay the foundation for valuable construction, and how bitter conflict can lead to sweet communion, and how temporal death can be the wellspring of new and eternal life. Certainly the first intention of Samson was to wrap an amazing personal experience of his past inside the mystery of a riddle. But at the same time, the faithful intention of God, as in all of Scripture, is to shine a spotlight on Jesus Christ. The intention of God is to reveal some amazing personal facts about His Son, our Savior. The riddle posed by Samson is nothing less than redemptive poetry. The words are a poetic, prophetic description of the sacrificial and substitutionary death of Christ, by which we are nourished with spiritual food and drink unto life eternal. Listen again. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Of course, the eater Samson was talking about was the lion, the ferocious lion that he killed. Lions are mighty meat-eating beasts. That's why the rest of the animals are afraid of them. These greatest of cats have tremendous power and prowess in hunting. Therefore, all agree that the lion is the king of the jungle. He's the eater at the very top of the food chain. Now you and I should remember and recall that the Bible describes God's Son as a lion too. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he has overcome. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able, the Bible says in Revelation 5, verse 5. Well, the devil also goes about like a roaring lion, but he's an imposter cat. He's the great imitator. The real lion is the Redeemer, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Out of the eater, the lion, came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. Understand then, beloved, out of the lion, Jesus Christ, came something to eat. What was Samson thinking of when he said something to eat? What had he eaten from inside the lion? Well, you say, honey, of course. Is there something that God's people need to eat from inside the Lion of Judah? You remember when our Lord Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and unless you drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up upon the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. John chapter 6, verse 53 and following. Out of the lion, the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. What is sweeter than honey? What could be sweeter than the forgiveness of all our sins and the guarantee of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Why couldn't the Philistines solve Samson's riddle? Well, for the same reason unbelievers do not understand the gospel in Jesus Christ to this very day. They're not given the spirit of regeneration. You never find an active beehive inside the body of a living lion, do you? You see, the lion had to die before sweet honey could be found in him. And this is gospel, isn't it? This is the gospel. In an exactly similar way, Jesus Christ, our Savior, had to die before the sweetness of salvation and eternal life could be found in him for us. The world cannot comprehend this. Though this truth is revealed in Scripture from beginning to end, out of the sacrificial and substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, we get something to eat and something sweet. Jesus' body and Jesus' blood, the bread and the wine. And the bread we eat and the wine is sweet, and through them we are strengthened and refreshed to eternal life. The reality of Samson's riddle is fulfilled in Jesus. Little did Samson realize that before this riddle would be wonderfully fulfilled in Christ's own death, it would be woefully fulfilled in his own as a type of Savior with a small s, a type of Savior for the nation of Israel. Betrayed for 30 suits of clothing, as Christ would later be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Let's take up our Bibles again and turn to Judges 16 once more. This time reading in the 16th chapter, verses we haven't read yet. Judges 16 at verse 15. And she said to him, "How can you say I love you? When your heart is not with me, you have mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies." And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep upon her lap, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Out of the eater came something to eat. Samson finds himself with his eyes gouged out, grinding grain in a Philistine prison. Out of the eater came something to eat. Let's remember tonight that Samson himself had gone about Philistia like a roaring lion and had devoured so many of their young men. Out of this lion now came something to eat. For this lion, this Samson is now grinding grain and providing flour for the bakery of Gaza. Out of the eater, something to eat. And out of the strong, something sweet. Oh, how sweet it was for the Philistines to have the very man who carried away their city's gates now securely locked in their city's dungeon, grinding grain like an ox. Oh, how sweet revenge can be. Out of the strong, out of Samson, something sweet. But don't forget, in all this, the Bible says God was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. God's purpose was to squeeze one last concentrated drop of sweetness out of his strong man. And in doing so, to give both Israel and Philistia something to eat, something to chew on, for decades to come. For on the last day of Samson's life, the Bible records, they brought Samson out of this prison to provide entertainment for them on their pagan holiday in their pagan temple. And Samson decided to sacrifice his life for the glory of God and for the good of Israel. And God therefore honored his request to die with the Philistines and gave Samson a special measure of his Holy Spirit once more and the ability to push out the two central supporting pillars of Dagon's temple. And in this way, Samson killed more people when he died than when he lived. As you and I see Samson there between the pillars with his arms stretched out, how our eyes go to Calvary with the arms of our Savior Jesus Christ stretched out upon the cross, wreaking havoc on the dominion of the devil, who has no idea that in the day of his glee, in the day he's dancing, in the day when he thinks he's got everyone on his side, the Romans are on his side, the Jewish religious leaders are on his side, they've all brought out Jesus, it's all going exactly like he wants. And the devil doesn't realize the very bars of hell are being pushed away and the roof's going to come down all over them. Oh, how sweet this victory is for us. And how sweet it was in the days of Samson for Israel at that time, this final triumph, as life-sustaining as bread. Sweeter by far is the victory we have in our Lord Jesus. Lifted high upon the cross for the entertainment of the Jews. Yeah, on their holiday, on their great Passover, Jesus tore the bars of death and hell away. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. God in his providence was up to a lot that day. God is still up to a whole lot more than you and I begin to realize. The Philistines answered Samson's riddle with one of their own. They said, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" Well, we have the answer. There is something sweeter than honey. It's the forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And what is stronger than a lion? The love of God toward us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved, if you have not professed this Jesus as your own Savior, together with the church of the firstborn, then do it today. Do it today, boys and girls. Believe in Jesus Christ. Confess your sin. Put your faith in him. He is the Savior, the one that every heart truly longs for. If you haven't done it, young people, do it today. Do it now. And profess your faith in this Savior soon. And if you have professed him, continue to do so with joy all the days of your life and to celebrate as you routinely discover in God's Word and in God's world the answer to redemption's riddle in the carpenter from Nazareth, the God-man from Galilee, the teacher of Capernaum, the Christ of Calvary, the ascended King of heaven, the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Recall the imperative of our Lord's command. Take, eat, remember, and believe. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for the light that shines upon the truth. Lord, we thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for revealing him throughout the ages. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that we have tonight. Lord, the interconnection between providence and redemption, that by your providence, O God, you are providing a Savior. You have done so, and you continue to do so in our time, bringing Christ home to our very hearts, giving us understanding in our own hearts and minds of who Jesus is and who he must be for us. Lord, May each one of us submit to him and to his lordship. And may we trust in him and his accomplished saving work. In him make us strong. In him refresh our hearts. In Jesus we pray. Amen. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds, number 384. Let's rise and sing the five stanzas, number 384. The offering for this evening is Reformed Faith and Life. Remember, either as you enter tonight or going out, the opportunity to support this work of the Lord through this cause. Let us sing the doxology before the benediction tonight. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.